You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with Labour MP Shannon Halbert.
The Ipsos New Zealand survey has shown Labour is the most trusted political party for 8 of the top 10 most important issues to voters. These include issues like cost of living, healthcare and the economy. The only issues in the top 10 Labour was not the most trusted party for are law and order, which is national, and climate change, which is the Green Party. The government has amended the Education and Training Act to remove the requirement for school boards to give effect to Te Tiriti o Waitangi. A petition calling for a minimum age of 16 to access social media has been handed over to Parliament. The petition had 44,000 signatures, and the government is halting prescriptions of puberty blockers for young people with gender dysphoria while continuing to allow them for cisgender young people. This decision goes against expert advice, with Dr. Elizabeth McAlria, GP specialist in gender-affirming care and PATHA vice president, stating, "The ban will lead to a deterioration in mental health, increased risk of suicidality, and increased dysphoria in gender-diverse children and young people, and will put them at a higher risk of experiencing marginalisation and discrimination." For our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party, I spoke to Shannon Halbert about all of these topics. I started by asking if he could speak to what the results of the Ipsos survey mean for Labour.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that New Zealanders recognise that Christopher Luxon promised to fix the economy and the cost of living. That's the thing that people are feeling the most hard done by at the moment, and he simply hasn't done that. He's made it worse.
Why do you think cost of living and inflation is the top issue for New Zealanders?
Well, it's the thing that everyone deals with on a daily. When we go to the supermarket and butter's up, cheese is up, a loaf of bread, you know, becomes too expensive. That's not the New Zealand that we expect to live in. At the very least, people expect to be able to buy affordable food, you know, when things are a bit tight, but that's not the case here. And things are really going backwards for them, and New Zealanders feel that.
What do you think Labour has to do to be the leading party on the issue of law and order?
Well, I think it's important that we continue to front up to the challenges that are in front of us. But we've always said that we need to deal with the root cause behind law and order. For me personally, that comes back to ensuring that every young person grows up with the right opportunities, with an education, with the right pathways and care to be able to build a good life for themselves. But when they do go on the wrong pathway, that they can go into alternative rehabilitation programs to get them back on the right pathway and to, you know, set themselves up for a good and meaningful life.
Overall, do you think these results show that Labour has a good chance in the election next year?
They certainly look positive. When I am out and about in my community, you know, you measure that by how many people want to engage with you around policy, want to talk about the government, the issues of the day. But certainly there's a long way to go, 12 months-ish. We'll see in the new year when the Prime Minister announces the election. There's a long way for us to go, and we've got to ensure that we're focused on what Labour brings to the future of Aotearoa New Zealand and give something for people to vote for. I'm really pleased with the policy announcements we've done to date. I think the most popular in my electorate is the three free GP visits, which we're able to achieve through a capital gains tax.
And what is your response to the government's plan to remove the requirement for school boards to give effect to Te Tiriti o Waitangi?
I've been very vocal on this one. I think it's an atrocity that the government would prioritise this over learners' needs. No Board of Trustees in New Zealand has said that this is getting in the way of them focusing on raising achievement for learners. This is just another government initiative to double down on Te Tiriti, to kick Māori, and to really make sure that they're staying relevant for all the wrong reasons. It demonstrates a lack of leadership from Minister Stanford and Christopher Luxon. This is not the New Zealand that the average person wants. We want one that is about unity and kotahitanga.
Are you optimistic about the fact that many schools have pushed back against this removal of Te Tiriti?
when schools like mine on the North Shore are all actively writing their letters, posting them to community pages and sending them to Minister Stanford, you know that you've really hit a nerve in the education sector. The sector is sick and tired of being told what to do from this government, decisions being made without any evidence. I questioned Minister Stanford in the committee of the whole House to ask her how she expects to achieve equity of learning without Te Tiriti or Waitangi at the centre of what they do. Fundamentally, I think that is important, the equity and addressing the disparities of learning is a pathway through Te Tiriti, and that's what our schools stand for too.
Given everything happening in the education space at the moment, how does this proposed change fit into the many other changes the government has made to the education system?
Well, the removal of Te Tiriti is consistent with government position since they arrived 2 years ago. But the point here is that Minister Stanford dropped it 1 hour before the committee of the whole House. She could have done that through a select committee process where the public and schools and parents could have been able to respond to that. Instead, she sneakily put it out there in a part of the legislative process where the public cannot participate, and that's not acceptable.
How many of these changes, particularly relating to Te Tiriti and schools, will Labor reverse if elected next year?
We are going through our policy process at the moment. Next week is our annual conference, which is the end part of our policy process. There's a number of education remits that our members will make decisions on, and that sets us up for next year. Any repeals are included in that process as well. But what I will say is that we have announced that the current one that we debated yesterday, the Education and Training Act on Early Education, we have committed to repealing already.
And are you personally supportive of the petition to ban social media for under-16s?
Well, I've been involved in the inquiry through our select committee. I think there's a number of views in that. It acknowledges that there's some real risks that sort of sit behind young people accessing content online and being accessed by people that we don't want to be in the lives of people that are under 16. My concern and issue that I'll continue to navigate is that rainbow communities, rainbow young people in particular, commonly go online to find a community that represents them. We need to ensure that that is retained in some way, and so that's what I'll be pushing for, how we achieve that within the proposed ban.
Can you explain why Labor is supporting a bill on this issue through first reading but not committing to supporting it any further?
Well, we think that there's a lot of discussions, particularly around resources, on how we might achieve that. In principle, it sounds like the right thing to do, but we want to open that up to go into public submissions for parents, for young people to have their say. We want to hear from experts. And then that will inform our decision moving into the second reading and onto the third.
And you've mentioned the impact for rainbow communities. Do you think it's important that young people are included in this conversation?
Absolutely. Young people need to be at the centre of this conversation. You know, I've always committed to ensuring that young people are able to identify as who they choose to be. Largely that can be informed and influenced online. With that, you know, we need to be responsible around the information that young people can access. But, you know, I acknowledge that at my age, the things that I'm looking at compared to the things that they're looking at are quite different, and that's exactly why I want to hear from them.
And I want to finish by asking about puberty blockers. What is your response to the government blocking young people with gender dysphoria from being able to access puberty blockers?
Firstly, I want to just acknowledge how hard this will hit for the rainbow community, for rainbow young people and their whānau. It's an unnecessary decision, and rather than looking at the evidence and making a decision on that, the national government has made a political decision based on their ideological views and the influence from New Zealand First. This is not the way that we want the health system to operate. We want a health system that supports people, that gives them the dignity that they deserve. So I think it's an incredibly sad day for Aotearoa.
Are you concerned about the negative mental health consequences this could cause?
I've called for the government to respond to this issue immediately. I think the ban is one thing, but I'm asking them to support young people and their families now through pastoral support, through mental health care, that we just can't walk away from people that are needing some sort of support. So the ball is in their court to respond to that, and I hope they do so.
You've mentioned that this is a politically motivated decision. Is this decision a result of the same kind of harmful anti-trans moral panic we've seen out of the US and the UK recently?
Well, it certainly looks like it, and we've seen that from Winston Peters. We saw that the report that came out, instead of being left with the Ministry of Health and the Minister to make the decision, that went to Simeon Brown. And a decision was made collectively at Cabinet. That's really unheard of, actually. And so it shows the level of politics that has played out in this decision, and it's been incredibly unfortunate.
That was Labour's Shannon Halbert on the results of the Ipsos survey, the removal of the requirement for school boards to give effect to the treaty, the petition for a social media ban for under-16s, and the government banning puberty blockers for young people with gender dysphoria.
That was our weekly chat with Labour MP Shannon Halbert. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.